Again, welcome everybody to the NSF SAIS Research Expansion Program, Solicitation 24-536. Here is a brief outline of what we are going to cover in the 30 minutes in the first half of the webinar presentation. We'll go through the NSF mission, give you an overview of the program, give you details about eligibility and deadlines, and also give you important information about resources such as the cloud bank and also different workshops that are being held for the program to support submissions and success of investigators and institutions. We leave ample time, as I said, for the question and answers post that. As you all know, the goal of the National Science Foundation and its investments are to promote the progress of science to advance the national health, prosperity, and welfare, and to secure our national defense. So to that effect, NSF invests in fundamental, foundational, translation, and societal research areas. Foundational research includes the basic fundamental work in information gathering, analysis, and communication. NSF also supports translation research with regards to SAIS-funded research, which have worked towards compute systems and communications. And finally, and the most critical, which this solicitation supports, is the societal impact with regards to SAIS-funded research that benefits all Americans. This is kind of critical to the theme and the vision and mission of the program. Just to give you a brief view of the directorate, the Computer Information Science Engineering Directorate by numbers. NSF funds 80% of federally funded computer science in the United States at these academic institutions. What I would like you to focus on this chart is the institutions which have been supported with regards to being emerging research institutions or minority serving institutions, which have grown over the past few years. Also, it is important to note the focus of SAIS to impact and support sustainable research towards EBSCO institutions or institutions which are from the 28 EBSCO jurisdictions which receive less than 0.5% of NSF funding. The vision and priorities for our 2030 mission is to establish and strengthen NSF priorities in these areas of compute, systems, research, communication, and societal impact, inspire the missing millions to join the portfolio, either as investigators, students, institutions, and of course, to accelerate translation to practice through technology and innovation, specifically across the institutions, across the jurisdictions, and provide regional leadership in the areas. Computing is a key ingredient of this. One thing we want to highlight here is focus on what has been the legislation, which is the CHIPS and Science. The legislation authorizes a doubling of NSF budget in the upcoming years. The goal is to strengthen fundamental research, to focus on research capacity building, establish partnerships and innovation as a key ingredient for fundamental research, invest in STEM diversity and STEM education, as well as address national security and research needs for our nation, starting from health, climate, border security, and so on. The investments are geared at creating a workforce that are prepared for the jobs of today and tomorrow, and filling the gaps which we have understood from statistics and the national trends. And then, of course, provide technologies and jobs for the future with AI, quantum, semiconductors, applications of computing in any discipline with regards to sustaining workforce, building regional institutional leadership, as well as promoting diversity in STEM. Now I will change gears and focus on the solicitation, which is the NSF 24-536. As I had mentioned before, the goal and mission of NSF is to build research capacity, and to do that, the goal of this solicitation was to build research capacity at minority serving institutions, institutions which are emerging research institutes, so that we can have a path for transition to the SAIS core programs. We'll go detailed into the SciSCO programs in the following slides. The next is to stimulate rigorous research advancement at such institutions so that we can address STEM competitiveness and workforce development throughout the nation. And of course, as I had mentioned, to fill the gaps in funding of these institutions as they are central and critical to promote inclusive excellence and thus enabling the diversity and portfolio distribution across all research, access and inclusion for the directorate. Just to give you a little history, the program was launched in 3 years ago, three and a half years ago in 2021, through a series of workshops, which placed focus on minority serving institutions and institutions which have limited research infrastructure, engaging faculty and institutions from them and encouraging collaborations and partnerships for ideation. The phase led to wonderful outcomes. We just wanted to highlight that we have over 105 awards over the past 3 years with an investment of over $40 million to date. These awards range from $300,000 up to $1.5 million to provide the partnerships and the capacity building for these institutions. The representation of these awards are across all the programs and divisions and offices for the directorate. A key thing which we would like NSF staff response to this solicitation is to understand and explain to our investigators the transition to the core. The program supports the success of institutional research capacity building and investigator research career pathways towards inclusion into the SciSCO and participating programs. The programs which are supportive of this are the Division of Computer and Communication Fundamentals, CCF, where Jim is from, CNS, which is the Computer Network Systems, which Deep, Michelle, and me have worked, and IIS, which is the Information and Intelligence Systems, which is another division as part of SCICE and Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure. At this point, I will request Michelle to come in and share details about the solicitation.
Sorry, as was just mentioned, these divisions are those that are participating in this solicitation. And so Jim will pick up on this when we talk about eligibility, but the goal of this program, as Sabrata mentioned, is that institutions would participate in SCISE MSI, but that the next step would not to continue to apply for this award, but the goal is for you to then become more prepared to apply to the SCISE Corps, that your next application, you would be well qualified to apply to CCF, CNS, IIS, and OAC. Now, there are other programs that we are that we look to support. So if your research falls into the enter of cyber physical systems, secure and trustworthy cyberspace, smart and connected communities, as well as smart and connected health, we also encourage you to apply for those. Applying for those last four divisions do not take you out of being eligible for the overall award. These are just other programs that support the SCISE Corps. If you notice, these are just programs. And by what that means is that they're not at the level of division. So a division can include several different programs. And so this solicitation is supported by the core solicitations, the four core divisions, and is also supported by these programs. So they're at a different level of funding because they span multiple divisions. So they're not in one division. So secure and trustworthy cyberspace includes program officers and awards that fall under both CNS and IIS and CCF. So they fall under a lot, but their program crosses all of those divisions. It's not directly in one. Next slide. So this solicitation has the updated solicitation now has four threads. So if you've applied for this solicitation in the past with the February deadline, you notice that this is now a new solicitation, which is why most of you are probably here to learn more about the new solicitation, what changes were made. One of the biggest changes is that we broke up the first thread, and so that now we have four threads, where in the last year we only had three. And these three threads will go into, but they range in project length as well as award sizes. Just so you know, that we ask that if you already have one of these awards that is active, we ask that you not apply again, because we would like to spread the support across a number of institutions. Next slide. So thread number one is the research capacity building planning projects, meaning that we're looking for development of infrastructure elements to support research. So you would describe how those funds would support that infrastructure, and how the work will provide new or some ongoing research opportunity for the students at these MSIs or across some partner that you've engaged. We ask that as part of this solicitation that you would detail and talk about the sustainability of your outcomes. So once you have built these partnerships, you can then talk about where you would get further support. And we would hope that further support would be in size core. This is one where a lone PI would not apply. This is about partnerships. Next slide. So thread number two is a demonstration project thread, asking for understanding of developing research collaborations involving multiple departments, at maybe at your own institution or multiple institutions. We ask that this one focus on research aligned with one or more of the size programs, meaning that we ask you to identify which core program you would like to, your work aligns with, and that your research would fall under, and that this demonstration that you're doing would strengthen the partnership amongst the researchers that you're involved with, as well as engaging undergraduate or graduate students from the minority serving institution that's participating. Thread number three, next slide. This one is to enhance partnerships. So this is looking at enhancing partnerships between an MSI and either an NSF funded research center, some other research intensive organization, or a national laboratory. So this is looking at those partnerships that can be developed across the nation, across your state. We want it to be someone who doesn't have any previous support from size programs, and that they would take the lead on this project. As we've said earlier, this is about building up the research infrastructure at these minority serving institutions. Once again, including undergraduate and graduate students in the research activities and conferences, showing that the collaborative project team will enhance the research capacity at the minority serving institutions. So this does not say that other institutions can't participate. All we ask is that the minority serving institution be the lead and that the research capacity is being built at that institution. And finally, we would like to hope that the research team could eventually compete in the size core at the medium and large level. Next slide. And the new thread is a research planning project. So this is not a prerequisite for participating in anything else, but it's designed for those institutions that don't feel like they could meet either of the first three threads. This would allow you to, if you don't have an existing partnership, to establish that partnership, to plan or expand efforts at the MSI, describe how the funds would help build that research capacity. And then we really would like a plan that would elaborate on the feasibility of this partnership and how this partnership would have plans that would continually develop the capacity. And finally, for this thread, we ask that you describe the research infrastructure, the plans to establish these relationships and the inclusion of any faculty training or research experiences that could possibly be needed to diversify the number of investigators, the types of investigators, the research areas the investigators come from. Next slide. And so now I'm going to turn these over to Jim to kind of talk about how you can get direction for completing a proposal if you have not submitted one in the past. Jim?
All right. Thanks, Michelle. So the general proposal and award process is described in what we call the PAPG. That's document NSF-24-1, and you see the link here. So that gives you all of the general rules and regulations and policies and such that you need to follow for any proposal submitted to NSF. Next slide, please. So we also have additional criteria that must be satisfied for submitting to the SIZE MSI solicitation. Proposals may be submitted by only universities and colleges or nonprofit, non-academic organizations or NSF-sponsored, federally funded research and development centers. With this last one, with the caveat that they are not including costs for which federal funds have already been awarded or expected to be awarded. There is also a limitation on the number of proposals per PI, co-PI, or senior personnel. That is two. That means that an individual may participate as a principal investigator, a co-principal investigator, or a senior personnel in at most two full proposals. And this is regardless of the category, the RPEP or the DP categories that Michelle just outlined before. It's across all categories. So we ask that an MSI faculty member serve as the lead principal investigator on any proposal submission. And you can refer to the complete details of at the SIZE MSI solicitation 24-536. Okay, next slide, please. There is also institutional eligibility criteria that must be followed. So proposals may be submitted by accredited institutions of higher education that belong to at least one of the following classifications as a minority serving institution. And you see those listed here. Now, and as an important note, we at NSF cannot certify whether you are a minority serving institution or not. Eligibility can be checked at this IPEDS website that's run by the U.S. Department of Education, and you can see the URL listed there. And we have some more information in the solicitation itself. Next slide, please. So there's another website here run by the Department of Education as well that lists programs that are, or that should I say, institutions that are organized by different categories of minority serving institutions. So you can refer to this site as well as the one on the previous slide to determine whether you are an eligible MSI or not. But ultimately, you're going to have to sort this out with an official at your university or institution, because the institution must satisfy the definition of an MSI, and that's spelled out in section one of the solicitation. And there is an MSI certification form that is required with the submission of the proposal that's described in section five of the solicitation. For the MSI certification, there will be a representative of your institution, for example, somebody in the sponsored research program office, or perhaps higher in the food chain at your university. That person must sign a certification of MSI eligibility, and that will be included in the supplementary documentation section of the proposal. We at NSF cannot certify you as an MSI, but somebody at your university should be able to do that, and you will need to have somebody do that in an official capacity in order to get this certification of MSI eligibility document completed for your proposal. So another very important eligibility criterion, and this is new for this year, is that institutions that have received NSF awards totaling more than $2 million within the past 5 years, and that's dated from the fiscal year deadline date, from the size programs listed in section two. And that is all of the size core programs plus those four cross-division programs are not eligible to serve as lead institutions, but you may participate as a non-lead collaborator. And this $2 million figure is from all of those Section 2 programs combined over the last 5 years combined. Okay, next page, please. So some of the mechanics of the proposal submission process, the proposal starts off with a cover sheet. You will need to designate an NSF unit of consideration. This would be a division or an office in most cases. So you should choose the division or office or one of the four eligible cross-division programs as the unit of consideration. And so these include CCF, CNS, IIS, OAC, for the divisions, and for the cross-division programs, remember those are SATC, CPS, SNCC, and CHS. Your proposal title should begin with size-MSI colon, and then the THREAD acronym, and then the intended size program. So this would be the core program or the eligible cross-division program. So some examples. So for an RPEP project submitted in the CCF division, you would call that size-MSI colon RPEP colon CCF colon, and then your project title. For a DP project submitted to the SATC program, size-MSI colon DP colon SATC colon, and then your project title. Okay, next page, please. So in the project description, and this is the main body of a proposal, in the first paragraph of the project description, you need to identify the intended size program, CPS, SATC, CCF, et cetera. And then the description must indicate how the proposed research will foster department and or organizational research capacity. In addition to the guidance that's specified in the PAPG, you need to also provide an institutional data narrative. That is, the project description must include institutional data with a narrative describing and contextualizing the institution's need for the proposed project and its potential to build research capacity and partnerships. Next slide, please. Okay, you'll have a number of supplementary documents. We ask that you provide a list of project personnel and their partner institutions. So if you're working in a collaborative proposal, the lead institution should provide this information for all of the participants. You'll need a collaboration plan, and there's a two-page limit on that. A data management plan, also two pages. Cloud computing resources, if applicable, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. A departmental letter, which must be one page. And then the certification of MSI eligibility, which I mentioned before. Next slide, please. Okay, going into a little bit more of the specifics of these, a collaboration plan needs to address the specific roles of all of the PIs, co-PIs, and other senior personnel, as well as any paid consultants at all of the institutions that are involved in the projects. The collaboration plan needs to describe how the project will be managed across all of the investigators, the institutions, and/or disciplines. It needs to identify the specific coordination mechanisms that will enable cross-institution and or cross-discipline scientific integration. And it should point to specific budget line items that support these management and coordination mechanisms. Next slide, please. A data management plan, it needs to be included. And this should address how the proposal will conform to NSF policy on the dissemination and sharing of research results, specific guidance on data management plans, that are submitted to SIZE can be found at this link here. And chapter two of the PATG also has details of the full policy implementation. And we have another site here. BFA runs this site about additional information on dissemination and the sharing of research results. Okay, next page. Cloud computing resources. If you are requesting cloud resources, and Deepa will be talking about Cloud Bank and what to do for that in just a moment, but you do need to provide a supplementary document that does not exceed 2 pages. And this document should address the anticipated annual and total costs for accessing the desired cloud computing resources based upon the pricing currently available, which cloud providers will be used, and a technical description and justification of the request, along with how the cost was estimated. Now, importantly, in your budget for the project, you should not include any costs for the cloud computing resources used via Cloud Bank. The total cost of the project, however, includes this computing resource, and this total cost may not exceed the budget limit as described in the solicitation. And the solicitation goes into some detail about how to calculate these costs and the budget. But the bottom line is that the total cost of the project, including the cloud computing costs, cannot exceed the budget limit, but you don't actually include the budget into the budget, the cloud computing costs. And with that, I will say next slide and turn it over to Deep.
Thank you, Jim. Jim just started talking about the cloud bank part of it. The way that for the cloud computing part of it, the way it works is that we have from this picture, but you can see that as a PI, you request that you want to use one of the commercial cloud provider. Right now, we are a partnership with Amazon Web Service, Google Cloud Platform, IBM Cloud, and Microsoft Azure. And so once, because of that, what happens is that we are trying to give access to anybody. They can do PIs rather, that they can use the cloud bank to be able to use it. The main point is to democratize the access to researchers, and this is a PI-centric program that we have. Next slide, please. So the idea is that this benefit actually all, you know, three different entities involved with the SIZE researchers, you know, remove the fraction. For example, many institutions do not have a agreement with a cloud provider to use any cloud services. So they are, you know, can the PIs can then use Cloud Bank to use cloud, you know, services. So that's one of the big benefit of it. Second thing is that some institutions may have an agreement with one of the cloud providers, but because of our agreement through Cloud Bank, multiple cloud providers are available. So if your research requires you to use something that's not available from the cloud provider that your institution have agreement with, then you can still use the other provider, and that's the benefit to them. For NSF, it creates an entity that actually does everything, take care of it for the SIZE-funded PIs. You can actually track it, use it. You can log in and see how much it is. Almost it's a real-time basis, how much cloud credit you use it. So that's a very good thing. So, and for the cloud provider, it gives access to the new users and communities, you know, helps with offloading high touch nature of working with individual researchers. Next slide, please. So I actually talked about this, but I kind of recap a couple of the important things. But one thing I want to point out is the very first bullet. If you're going to use any of the cloud provider, then in the project summaries, you need to add the word cloud access, one word without any space. This should be included at the end of the overview section before you're the section on the intellectual merit. That's very, very important. And then, as Jim said before, the budget should not be part of the main project body. It is done as a two-page supplement, which is already covered. But I'm going to go over an example. Can you go to the next slide, please? So let's say that you want to submit a proposal to THREAT2, that means the Research Demonstration Project, RDP, and which allows a total budget limit of 600,000. So if as a PI you wish to request 50,000 in commercial cloud provider through CloudBank, what you do is in your NSF budget, you are going to limit it for $550,000. And then that $50,000 that you want to request for cloud credit, you wanted to mention that in the supplement document with the justification of how you come up with that cost and which cloud provider you want to use it. And once you may think that this $50,000 disappears, that's not so. Because what we do is that if your project is funded, then we funnel that $50,000 directly to the cloud provider. And then you log in, use your institution's in commons credentials, and then access it right there. Next slide. So important deadlines, that the full proposal deadline is coming up in about 6 weeks, May 2nd for this year. And then from next year, it'll be the first February 7th and February 6th. Sorry, that's what it is. We expect for this round's proposal that's due on May 2nd to be announced by August, whether you got funded. So, pay attention to what we have in terms of the deadline, all the guidelines we talked about today, so that that you can prepare it properly and submit by May 2nd. Next slide. We want to point out that there are going to be aspiring investigators workshops. There are three upcoming ones. As mentioned, there are one at the University of Alabama, at one in Hawaii, the one in Alaska. So those are coming up. Obviously, you can see that only the first one is before the upcoming deadline. The other two were to prepare you for those who want to potentially submit in the next round. Next slide, please. I want to recap that is an aspect investment to our transition to size core program. The resource expansion is to give building on the technical themes and responding to research and societal opportunity. Build out a cross-cutting effort to infrastructure and people, engaging in broader conversation with the research community, with industry, and with US agency and international. Next slide, please. So we are done with our part of the presentation. Then we can go to Q&A. And there are a couple of them I already answered by typing it to the Q&A.